Okay, so let's start finishing this up. Okay, a couple things I want to finish up, and then we can move on to the next sugya. And again, like I told you guys before, the next sugya is actually built off of this one. It's going to discuss the order you put on tefillin. Anyway, but based on what we said yesterday, you have the position of the Nemuka Yosef and the Smag, which are both interesting. They kind of like, now, to be fair, facts on the table, everyone seems to hold that both these guys line up underneath Tosfos' wing. So remember, Tosfos held what? Tosfos held that Yad and Rosh, what? Two brachos no matter what. And the phenomenon of Yad and the phenomenon of Rosh are different phenomena, right? Yad is all about attaching. Rosh is making the person adorned. Okay, so now, they bring up this... Yes, that's correct. Okay, so Nemuka Yosef says, well, I mean, I couldn't have made it any easier for you guys, right? I mean, this is the best I can get, right? So what does he hold? He holds, if I only put on... Okay, so you have this interesting scenario. We're not going to explore the scenario completely, because the Gemara is going to take it up later, but they explore the scenario in this area, which is, let's say I'm only putting on my tefillin shel Rosh. Only. Okay? It's only one. Okay? Why would you do that? I don't know. You can't find your yad. All right? So now, and remember, it's fun. Two separate mitzvahs, okay? So if I do that, according to the Nemuka Yosef, all right, I'd only make an al mitzvahs. Meaning, you would have thought that what? You'd make a lahaniach and an al mitzvahs, right? Kamash Malan, then no, I only make an al mitzvahs. Why? You realize why, but it's still, before you say that, it's an odd position. What makes it odd? Because I haven't... Better. But I haven't done a Maisa. What about a Maisa Hanacha? Okay, I'm saying what you're saying, but better. You're saying, if I interrupt it between the two, I have to make two brachas. Meaning I have to make another Lahaniach. Meaning there's something wrong with my Lahaniach. But he's saying, if I put my Rosh on, right, on his own, I don't need to make a Lahaniach. That's crazy. No, good. He would agree. He agrees with Tosfos that if I interrupt it between my Yad and Rosh, I'd make two brachas on my Rosh. He agrees. But yet somehow he says, if I have the Rosh by itself, I only make an al mitzvahs. Why? Why would he say that? It's a fascinating idea. It's actually, and you were saying this yesterday, darling. Oh, go ahead. Sorry. It's like this. No, it's a very clear way. In other words, you guys are saying good. It's almost like the Nemuka Yosef is saying, look at tefillin in two tracks, okay? There's the adorning track, and then there's the hanacha track. The yad, right? When you put on the tefillin shel yad, what now happens, right? There's the chiyuv hanacha comes from the yad, right? And then comes to include the rosh. But it's actually generated by the yad. If I don't have that which generates the chiyuv, right? So then, why would I make alaniach on the rosh? I'll beat him to the punch. The Nemuka Yosef doesn't actually say that outright. The Beis Yosef wants to learn the Nemuka Yosef that way. Caveats, it's on tape, okay? Okay. There's another interesting position. If I only had my tefillin shel yad, he says I'd make both brachos. Now, does that make sense?
Yeah,
that makes perfect sense. Why? I think what he's saying is that he is buying the Rav's idea, okay? But I think he's saying there's a twist. What he's saying is that Chazal have in front of them two tefillin. They have a yad and a rosh, right? And I want to say, I think what Yoshua was saying is that the quality, in the Smag's view, the quality of hanacha and adornment exists in both bottom. Okay? It exists in both. What? Right, it was the Garon Ben Necha. Correct. Yeah. Right, no, great, yeah.
So you're saying if the Smag only had shel rosh, he would have still said
rosh. Yes. So why? Because what he's saying is that, but what Chazal had to do was, they said, listen, we can't normally, since we have two, you can't have both brachas on one. So they chose was, listen, what comes first, as you'll see in the next Gemara, what do you put on first? Your yad. That's your first Maisa Hanacha. And then when is your dormant complete? Your rosh. So they split the brachas up, they assigned each one a bracha, right? Primarily because of the order they go in. But in truth, conceptually, both brachas apply to each bias of tefillin. You understand? So if I only have one bias, I make the one bracha. I make both brachas. You understand? In other words, that's what you're saying, right? Okay. It's a very novel way of looking at it. It's a very, in my opinion, a very unique way. It's saying, all along, it's like, they have these two batim, and they have, it's not that there's an intrinsic idea of laniach in one, and an intrinsic idea of adornment in the other. Both properties exist in both. But you're not going to make two brachas on one of them when both are separate mitzvahs. But if I only have one, so now what's going to happen? I make both brachas on the one. Yeah, Sean. There's no opportunity of an adornment through the rosh, because I don't have it. It's not retroactive. It's that if I only had the yad in front of me,
you have both.
On tape. You've adorned yourself to the maximum adorning capability. So now, I forgot. I think it was who said it before, Sean. If you look at the Baal Mor, right? What I was trying to bring out from the Baal Mor was like this. Now, before we get to Rashi's idea of Avera, what the Baal Mor is trying to tell you, and what I think we're trying to tell you, is that you see. In other words, what's the concern here? Anyone want to explain what the Baal Mor is saying? Not just as a bracha levatala. Okay, more than that. Anyone get a sense of what he's trying? I think what he's trying to get across. No. The point is this: shetehei tekef tefila shalrosh lit tefila shalyad. Right? Kadesh shetehei havia achas l'shtan. There's what is the problem, the struggle in this area, which I've said all along, and the Baal Mor thing is targeting, is that what's the problem? The problem is I have two seemingly completely separate phenomenon, right? Right. So there's an extra. I'm going to say this carefully. It's almost like he's saying that there's a doraisa kiyum, right, in somech, or in connecting one to the other. Meaning, it's not that it's true to two discrete actions, right? So, but normally if you had two discrete actions, what you would think is, I put this on, and then I'm putting that on, right? Meaning, two separate things. But you wanna view it as what? As one phenomenon. You know, like we were saying last time, as a chi of gavra, as one phenomenon. When you put on tefillin in the morning, right, what you're supposed to say to yourself is, it's not that I'm doing the action of A and then the action of B, it's that I'm fulfilling one chiyuv of putting on tefillin. And that's smicha. Smicha, you guys know what smicha means? Smicha is gula tefila. What I want to know is, what's Rashi's idea of Avera? We didn't answer that yesterday. Right, David, you want to put your question on the table? David's very bothered by Rashi. Remember, Rashi says what? Rashi says, what's the Avera? The Avera is, there's no problem talking in between Yad and Rosh, but if I did end up having a conversation with Rafi in between my tefillin, Yad and Rosh, right? If I forget to say the bracha, then it's an Avera. What kind of thing is that? Right? What idea is he proposing? And what's your question? It's a funny use. It's a good question. I don't think it's the core question, personally, but it's a good question. The question is the terminology of saying you're over an avera by not saying a bracha. Well, what do you mean? You're still yotzei putting on your tefillin. So what's Rashi saying? Rashi holds it's one mitzvah, right? For sure. He also holds that there's no problem talking in between the two, right? So what is he indicating? In other words, we didn't really answer this yet. What's he indicating by the fact that you must make this amitzas film? Something happens when I talked in between my yad and Rosh. Something happened, because if nothing happens, then you should never make a bracha on this film to Rosh. What happened? What? But you got to be careful, because you're right, but if it's breaking the connection, that means that almost sounds like it's a problem. Right? And then if it's a problem, then it's not the Avera is that he was interrupting. You know what I mean? In other words, according to Rashi, I would say new mitzvah.
Okay.
New maisa. In other words, this is a fascinating possibility. According to Rashi, there are actually two trajectories to your mitzvah's tefillin. There's this trajectory, and then if I interrupt, right, the putting on of my Rosh now is a different maisa. Meaning, there are actually, has to be saying that. There are actually two halachic performances of putting on tefillin shel Rosh. One of them is when I put on my tefillin shel Rosh after my yad, meaning without interrupting. But once I interrupt, there's no problem in interrupting. You're right, he has the opportunity to see the bracha. But what does that do to the tefillin shel Rosh now? It's a different maisa putting on tefillin shel Rosh. That's bizarre. So Avi, you're right also. It is a hefsek. It is. But it's not a bad hefsek. In other words, the hefsek now introduces the other avenue of your maisa putting on tefillin shel Rosh.
How do you even get to that? Why is it an avera?
In other words, that's proving my point. Why is it an avera? Because what Rashi's telling you is that you're not going to think like this. What you're going to think, knowing that I'm allowed to talk in between the two, so it's very normal for the average person to think, since I'm allowed to talk, oh, so there's no hefsek, so therefore I can go ahead and just put on my tefillin shel Rosh. So he's bringing Avera to show you that there's a concern. The concern is that since you think a hefsek means, since, there's again, Mimanav Shach, If it's a normative hefsek, right, then it's a whole different ballgame. If it's not a normative hefsek, which this is not, so a person would think, I don't have to make a bracha tefillin shel rosh. So that's why the Gemara is telling you. It's like a huge chiddush by the Gemara. Remember, since this is a new action, it demands its own bracha. So it's not unique to bracha being avera. It's because the average person wouldn't see this as a separate maisa.
Of course.
So now, what?
According to Rashi, what is the avera?
The avera would be that now that I have this new way of putting on my tefillin shel rosh, this other alternative way, right? I'm not going to think I have to make a bracha on it because I know I'm allowed to interrupt between my yad and rosh.
The avera is not saying bracha?
Correct. Because a person wouldn't think he needs to make the bracha.
Okay.
It's normative to think that way. Now, I want to show you one more thing. Okay, now this is, it's an exception. I don't normally bring in halacha l'maisa. I understand. Okay, but I'm bringing this in for a reason. I don't care about the psak. I just want you to think about something. There's a massive transition in methodological thinking between what we call the era of the Rishonim and the era of the Achronim. And the question that Beis Yosef raises, if you read it, signifies this issue. Okay, if you're a Rashi guy, remember I told you guys yesterday, I said, who here passes like Rashi, right? Who here holds like Rashi? Who would say only one bracha on their tefillin? Good, okay. And you'd stick to that. And if Rafi came over to you and said, what are you doing? After he called your kofer, and he said to you, hey, how can I make another bracha on your tefillin shel rosh? You'd say, listen, because to me this makes the most sense. And Rafi would say, yeah, but what makes the most sense to me is Tosos' position. And the times that we've shown him, that's how they used to think. Meaning, if you went to each other's shuls and you're Rashi or Tosos, hey, listen, you do your thing, I do my thing. I get it, right? Because you hold by your conceptual position. Okay, good. Here's the problem, though. The problem now that emerges, and it shouldn't be a problem, but it became a problem. When I say it became a problem, what I'm saying is that you don't have to take, whatever. It's up to you how seriously you want to take the problem. Problem is that as time goes on, you have two camps, right? You have one camp that's Rashi Rambam Rif, which means you make only bracha on Yad and Rosh, one bracha. And then you have the Tosos camp, right? And then as the years go on, more and more people decide which camp they want to be in. Until we hit a point where it's not clear who we hold like. Okay? Meaning there's no consensus of psak. Now, there was never a consensus. Oh, so that being the case, now the Beis Yosef raises a simple question. If we don't know what the consensus is, and we want to create some sort of unified psak for Klal Yisrael, then, Canary, you can't say anything. You want to create a unified psak for Yisrael. If that's true, then which position should you go like? If we don't know who we paskin like.
One with two, because that includes more people. Everyone agrees they have to say at least one.
Who would you go like, and why?
The other opinion, obviously.
Why? Of course you go like Rashi. Why, Yehoshua Kanarik? All right, in other words, in these situations, we don't know who we paskin like. If you're unsure, who says you can make the Shem Hashem? Who says you can say the Shem Hashem? Right? That's the Beis Yosef's famous kasha. His kasha is, if you want to say that we don't know who we paskin like, well, when in doubt, don't make the extra bracha. Right? You understand? In other words, when in doubt, if we don't know who we hold like, best not to say the extra bracha. You understand? So, yes. Point. David's half right. First of all, there's plenty of times in halacha where, we don't know which way to go, and we bring in what I call an external machria. I'll give you an example. You have a machlokas between A and B, right? So, and A and B are two logical possibilities, but then we revert back to Rove. Why Rove? Does Rove mean one side makes more sense? Of course not. Tadir v'sheino, tadir kodem. That principle doesn't make any sense. We use it because we don't know what to do. That's something external to the conceptual issue that comes in and makes a decision. But where you are right, though, is that in truth, this didn't seem to bother any of the Rishonim. The Rishonim weren't bothered by this. Tosos didn't say, but you know what? Even though I hold this way, I'm going to still hold like Rashi. He doesn't say that. So what I want to know is today, why is it that we rely on the position of Tosos? Why do Ashkenazim say, like I think most people here do, that I should make a bracha on mitzvah tefillin? If you know, it's a question what's one sneaky way out of it? For those who say I'll miss us filling, what do you say afterwards? You ever wonder why you say Baruch Shem HaMachos Olam Ved afterwards? Right, the old just in case. What? But why do you say Baruch Shem HaMachos Olam Ved today? Why do people do that? Because that's the other way to get out of the problem. But the Beis Yosef didn't like that. So think about, you already have two strikes. One strike is big question, you should say al mitzvahs or not because of suffic brachos. And strike two is this weirdo solution of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso, which doesn't sound as good as the first way. Now, did anyone see the Aruch HaShulchan, by the way? What he says? So, one second. What does he say? Right. Wait, hold on. Right. But the key thing, though, is what he does to the bracha alam is a tefillin. Now, that's the key. Right, so the Aruch HaShulchan is such an innovative Achron. He thinks so differently on the Achronim. He's very creative. I highly suggest to you guys. He says the bracha of al mitzvah tefillin is a brachas hodah, which, by the way, is a very difficult position to take up. But he's trying his best to justify the practice today of why we do this, of why you say al mitzvahs. The point I'm trying to bring across is, methodologically, there's a huge difference between how guys like the Rambam and the Rif think, which is where I have a position, it makes sense to me, I'm sticking to my guns, versus what happened with the changing of this methodology of the Achronim, like the Shulchan Aruch, which is where we got to cover all of our bases. And this is a serious question when it comes to Psak and Halacha. One of the biggest problems is the tension that exists between following what makes sense to me versus covering all your bases. I get these questions all the time in Halacha, like, shouldn't I just cover all my bases? Why don't it be Machmir to cover all my bases? It's unclear why that's the appropriate attitude to take when it comes to following halacha. Okay? I'm always bothered by that. I'm always bothered by the idea. To me, it should be that if it makes sense to you and you have a whole list of, Rishonim will agree with that, that's who you should follow. Let's just start the next piece just to get the next set of information down, okay? So the Gemara starts in Lama Vav with Tana. Ori, take it away. Tana. Right, and Kashu Cholates. Oh, that should be pretty obvious. Well, okay, the first one should be obvious, okay? Why do we put on Tefillin Shel Yad first and then Shel Rosh? Or is when you put your Tefillin... What? Okay, so if you read the order of Pasuk. Now remember, the implication is that if I didn't have the Pasuk in the Torah, would it matter? No. Okay, good. But then the Gemara tells us what order you take your Tefillin off.
Reverse.
Does it have to be that way?
Yes.
What? Okay. Go on, Ori. Bishlama. Good. So that we said already. So putting it on makes sense because the Torah goes in a certain order. But now Elab taking it off, Kishu Cholates. Minolan. Now it's interesting. The fact that Gemara asked that question is telling us that it's not that obvious. It's not obvious, okay? Oh, so how does it learn out? Lee, he explained to me. Shtayim. Okay, that's very difficult. But what he's saying is that as long as you're filling, as long as it's in between your eyes, right, meaning on your head, you therefore have to have how many on?
Two.
Both. Which would therefore require you to take off. Right. That's not intuitive, by the way. So what you were saying, I don't know who was saying before, if you go in order A, right, if you put on Yad first and Rosh, everyone always jumps on saying, okay, then take Rosh off and then Yad. That's what the Gemara is saying.
Yeah,
it was a different limud.
When do you ever have a formulation for when you stop doing it?
Right, good question. Okay.